Welcome. As an influencer, courtesy of SinuPrep for Kids Syrup, you have been granted exclusive access with Dr. Sears to get your pediatric questions answered. We are very happy to have you participate in today's call. Today, along with other like-minded peers, you will have the opportunity to ask questions and listen to one of America's leading pediatricians about children's health and wellness. Please remember that reproduction, distribution, or transmission of any part or parts of today's call is not permitted. However, today's call is being recorded and will be produced into podcast segments, which will be made available at www.bionoricausa.com. I would now like to turn the call over to Dr. Sears.
Why don't we go to the phones and take another question?
We'll take our next question from Alex Seltzer from Baltimore, Maryland. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling on behalf of Laura from Portland, Oregon. And her question is, my 8-year-old daughter was recently diagnosed with asthma and is now using a nebulizer. We have been counseled to limit her physical activity and remove her from the soccer team that she loves. I believe the asthma is related to undiagnosed allergies and sought a second opinion from an allergist and an ear, nose, and throat specialist. As I suspected, the allergy report came back with several likely allergens. The ENT's recommendation was to remove my daughter's tonsils and adenoids and try a course of allergy medicine to see if that helps the asthma symptoms. I feel like this is an extreme step, but one we would be willing to take if it meant she could continue to play sports and be an active 8-year-old again. Should we seek another opinion?
All right, yeah, I'm sure this is a fairly common situation. Let me cover the two different situations here. First of all, with removing the tonsils and the adenoids, number one, if your child is getting sick a lot, lots of colds, sinus infections, sore throats, frequent actual illnesses, then I could see there would be a benefit from removing the tonsils and the adenoids. Your child probably wouldn't get sick much after that, and it would certainly help with the breathing. I'm not sure that that's really going to help much with the actual asthma, however. That has not been my experience. Now let's talk about the actual asthma. It is very important that you discover what the allergies are, and I'm glad you've done that. And you should definitely do your best to eliminate any of the identified allergens from your child's life. Most kids with asthma can participate in sports with no problem at all. You would do a nebulizer treatment before the sports, and you do it before every practice. And you might want to have an inhaler on hand to use, during the sports or afterwards if your child's having any trouble. But these inhaled medications work very, very well at preventing an asthma flare-up during sports. And the exercise your child gets from sports is going to be very important. I don't see any reason to believe that the sports are going to make the overall asthma worse. Yeah, your child might have a little asthma attack here and there or get a little tight breathing during the sports, but that's easily remedied, and that's not going to, overall make the asthma more chronic or worse. So I think you're on the right track, and I would mainly just consider the tonsils and adenoids to be removed if your child's getting sick a lot. I will also throw in, though, if your child has a lot of nasal allergies, not just asthma, but runny, stuffy, sneezy, itchy nose, a lot of those nasal symptoms frequently, not just when they're sick, but frequently from allergies as well, I could see there might be a big benefit at removing the adenoids at that time and maybe the tonsils as well. And I do agree also with the challenge of a trial of allergy medications to see if that improves your child's symptoms. So I wish you all the best with your child's health. Right, do we have another phone question?
We have our next question from Sarah Kahn from Baltimore, Maryland. Your line's open. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have a question on behalf of Mindy from Baltimore. She says that her son is still having trouble sleeping through the night and wakes up once or twice. But most of the time, he just needs to be soothed. Other times, he's clingy and unconsolable. So she'll either bring him into her bed or she'll sleep in his bed with him. She's having another child, and she says it will become more difficult and uncomfortable to keep doing this, and she wants to know what she can do.
Okay, that's a great question. I'm sorry for laughing. This is every parent goes through this. I'm more laughing at myself because I remember those days when my kids were younger. You didn't mention how old your child is, but since you have another one on the way, I'm maybe going to assume your child is 1.5 or 2 or 2.5 or 3, kind of whatever age. I would say, number one, it is totally normal for a toddler or even a preschool-age child to wake up once or twice at night. It's completely normal. My kids did it. I think most kids at this age do that. It's also expected, as you can imagine, that they're going to need help going back to sleep. Think of it from their mind, their point of view. I'm alone, it's dark, maybe I'm a little cold, the house is quiet, there's monsters under the bed or in the closet. I just want mom or dad to help. And so what your child is needing as far as you helping them get back to sleep, completely normal and totally expected. And there's really no way that you can teach your child not to wake up at night, because how would you teach a child that? There's just no way. They just kind of automatically do it. He will stop one of these years, but in the meantime, you can't teach him not to wake up. The main thing is, how can you make nighttime least disruptive to you, and how can you make it not interrupt your sleep? I'm going to cover two things. Number one is right now, and then number two, what to do when the baby is born. Number one, what we did is we let our child just come into our bed at night once they woke up. We made sure all the stairs and anything upstairs was safe so the child could actually wake up, climb out of bed, come down into our room and get into our bed without even us getting up. So that wasn't very disruptive, and they just snuggle with us. And if your child, say, is a toddler and maybe they're still in a crib, so they're too young to climb out of a crib, and obviously that wouldn't be safe anyway, but they can't come down to your room on their own, I would suggest, you could change the crib into a little toddler bed situation with the mattress on the floor and a little bed rail so he can't really roll out, but if he does roll out, he's right on the floor. You could install a little baby gate in his doorway so he can't come out of his room, which you think might not be safe. And you might have to go get him then, but at some age you'll decide that he is safe and old enough to walk down the hallway to your room. You could also have him sleep in your room on a separate bed, so there's not much disruption when he wakes up. And then one of these years, again, he'll stop waking up. Now, what do you do when you have your next baby? Well, I'll tell you what I did. As soon as our next baby came along in our house, bedtime and nighttime for the older child became my job, became the dad's job. And I would put him to sleep at night, and when he woke up at night, he would come get in bed and snuggle next to me, or I would get in his bed and snuggle with him back to sleep. We actually had a little futon on the floor of our room, so when our older kid woke up, he was 3 or 4, he'd come down in the room, and he'd get in the futon, and I could lay my hand on him because our bed was low also, pat his back, help him get back to sleep. At some point, we also had two beds pushed together in our room, and I slept in the crack. Our older one would sleep on one side of me, and my mom and my wife and the baby would sleep on the other side of me. So there's a lot of different options. Bottom line is, what you're going through is very normal. Your child, will need you at night when he wakes up for the next year or two, and just try to find a way to make it the least disruptive to you as possible, and get dad involved even now, before the next baby comes along, so your older one is used to dad being the nighttime parent. It's a great question. Thanks for asking that. I think I'm going to take one of the emailed questions that we got earlier. What was the question? Someone has a question about gluten and keeping it out of a child's diet, and what is gluten and is it bad for you? Gluten is a protein that's in wheat and oats and rye and barley. It's a protein and in many of these grains, but there are some grains that don't have gluten, such as rice. Now, gluten as a protein, it tends to cause a lot of allergies. Now, most people are not allergic to gluten. Most people handle gluten just fine without any problem. But if you are allergic to gluten, it can cause chronic diarrhea, chronic constipation. It can cause a lot of abdominal pains, tummy aches. It can cause some behavioral reactions, some hyperactivity, interfere with focusing, interfere with thinking, and it can cloud your mind a little bit if you're really sensitive to gluten. So gluten can do a lot of bad things to you if you're allergic to it. The good news is most people aren't. Now, if you suspect your child is sensitive to gluten, you can your doctor can do a blood test to look if they're sensitive to it. And if they are, you can go on what's called a gluten-free diet, in which you don't eat any of the grains that I mentioned. And you could probably Google search gluten-free diet, and get a lot of good information about how to do it and how to test for it. I'm finding also gluten-free diets play a wonderful role in autism treatment. Some kids with autism are very sensitive to gluten, and when you take them off gluten, a variety of their autistic symptoms can improve, and I've found that to be true in my practice. And it might be true of ADD, severe temper tantrums, any big behavioral challenge, I think definitely warrants a food allergy evaluation and then going off of foods like gluten if you are sensitive to them. So that's a great question.
Thank you for participating in today's call. And as a reminder, the audio from today's call will be recorded and produced into podcast segment, which will be made available to all interested participants on www.bionoricausa.com/Dr. Sears. Please check back to this website to see when this will be available.